Part 2, Section 9. A letter from Lua. Lua herself has left an account of her first meeting with Abdu'l-Bahá. It is best told in her own words in a letter which she sent to America. To my friends in Chicago, greetings. We reached Haifa Thursday, 9th of December, about 10:30 p.m., and were met by three of the Baha'is. We slept but little that night. Our minds were occupied with the thought that perhaps tomorrow we shall see our beloved master Abdu'l-Bahá. We rose early the next morning, our hearts eagerly expectant, but all day no word came. In the evening, a letter came, stating that he would be pleased to welcome us on the morrow and that his heart longed to see the first American pilgrims. As you may imagine, sleep was out of the question that night as well. The hours passed much too slowly until the dawn of the morrow should come. I arose early, dressing myself with much care, feeling the best I had was not half good enough to wear upon this first visit to the Holy City. Shortly after 8 o'clock, the carriage drove us to the dwelling place of our gracious master. It is about 5 miles from Haifa to Acre along the road to the sea. Indeed, the road is in the sea, for the horses were walking in the water and at times the waves dashed nearly to the top of the wheels. After riding for about a quarter of an hour, we could see the city in the distance. It was a beautiful morning, and as we looked, we could but think of a description in the Bible. A city all of gold beside the crystal sea. It was bathed in a flood of golden sunshine, and the sea splashing up against its walls sparkled with splendour. We gradually approached nearer and nearer until at last we entered the city by its solitary gate and drove straight to the house of Abdu'l-Bahá. We entered the garden, ascended one flight of stairs, and were shown into a hall or reception room where we removed our wraps. By the violent beating of my heart, I knew I was soon to behold the blessed face of our beloved master. We reached the door and stopped. Before us, in the centre of the room, stood a man clad in long raiment with a white turban on his head. He stretched out his hand to us while his face was lighted by a rare sweet smile of joy and welcome. I stood there for a moment, unable to move. Then my heart gave a great throb, and scarcely knowing what I was doing, I held out my arms crying, "My Lord, my Lord!" I rushed to him, kneeling at his blessed feet, and sobbed like a child. He put his dear hand upon my bowed head and said in a voice that seemed like a strain of sweet music, "Welcome, welcome, my dear children. You are welcome. Arise and be of good cheer." Then he sat down upon a low divan, and I sat on one side, almost facing him. Then he began to talk to us. So swiftly did the time pass that we were quite astonished when dinner was announced. He seated me on his right. I felt too happy to eat and sat with my eyes riveted upon his glorious face. He turned towards me and, sweetly smiling, said, "The love of God burning in your heart is manifested upon your face, and it gives us joy to look upon you." Later that night he came again. One of the friends asked permission to sit near him, which was granted. After a moment, he turned towards me, smiled and waved his hand that I also might come. I sat down at his blessed feet while he took my hand, looking down upon me tenderly as a loving father. He sat and conversed with us for nearly an hour. Then he arose and wished us good night, blessing us, and we all retired. I couldn't sleep. My heart was too full. I was too infinitely happy. I could only live over and over again the precious moments I had spent in his presence and longed to see him once more. I fell into a sweet sleep just as morning was breaking. That evening he sat us all at the table and dismissed the servants, saying he would serve us himself. He did not sit at the table with us, but waited upon us. At the conclusion of the meal, he said, "I have served you tonight that you may learn the lesson of ever serving your fellow creatures with love and kindness." The next morning, he brought a beautiful bunch of white narcissus. He sat down and drank tea with us, then arose and bade us adieu. We were going back to Haifa that day, and he had been called away. As we were leaving the city, we saw him standing by the gate. He smiled at us as we passed. Our hearts were both sorrowful and happy. Happy because we had seen him, but sorrowful because we were leaving him. Lua closed her letter to her American friend, saying, "These words are very weak and inadequate. But no one could describe this place, and it is foolish to try. Each must see for himself. Therefore, pray God earnestly that the blessings of coming here may soon be bestowed upon you. And now I send you all my love and pray God to bless you now and forever. May your hearts all be united and your souls become as one soul living in separate bodies. Thus you will resemble our Lord and draw nearer unto God, the loving Father of us all. Your loving sister and co-worker in the cause, Lua."